Thank you ever so much. I just wanted to ask a question. I've just got a note here about ventriloquism. Mm-hmm. About there seems to be a kind of recurrence of inhabiting a voice or letting a voice inhabit you, whether it's taking on a persona or something. And I just wondered the actual miming to a presentation that someone else gave. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a kind of power that you access when you use ventriloquism and it appears elsewhere in the work. There was something I was reminded of. Mm-hmm. I read something by Patti Smith, and she said that she and Robert Mapplethorpe used to dress up as art before they were famous. Mm-hmm. They used to dress up as artists and go and hang out downtown Times Square, mm-hmm, until someone said, "They're artists, let's photograph them," and then they became artists. Mm-hmm. So by pretending to be something, mm-hmm, they become the thing. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to come through. You know, there's a kind of, mm-hmm, a pretense. I just wonder if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, but there's more or less. It's, I came to this. When I started to go to business, I realized one thing that I never had the idea before, that this has something to do with my body. That I'm affected from sitting in this office, getting in touch with these people, right, wearing those suits, because I always wear suits since I'm 13. But in that case, it was really something that I met, that I recognized. Well, this has something to do with my body and with something I can't. This is something I can't write down and reflect and theorize. I can feel it, and in that case, it was more interesting to use this as kind of a research method. What is in my body when I interpret, or when I try to take another voice, or try to take another role, because I always had the idea, and maybe it's not true. Yeah, I think it's true, that I can lie to myself the whole day through. I can imagine what I think it's right, and then I had read a good book, and in that case, the world is like this, and I can even lie to me so that I think I'm intelligent or something like that. But when I ask my body, I had the idea, no, my body can't lie.
Right.
He shows me what's in me, and I try to test it. How to deal with it? How strong is the idea to work with it? When you saw this Who Real Me video, where I fall down, I broke my
rib. Wow.
While in the second time I go to the floor, I broke my rib, and I had this was. Afterwards, it was really great, because I recognized that this research, or this what I'm doing there, was so important that I got on.
You carried on with it.
That I carried on. Yeah. There was no public. There was no expensive material. I could stop every second. But in that time, I realized, no, there's a connect. This is good. What happens. And this is more or less, it's a kind of research method, I think. And it's not to create difference it's not like Patti Smith.
No, okay. That's fine. Anybody else? Sorry, before we... Cause we're...
I'd like to know why you've taken your tie off.
What? No.
Why did you remove your tie?
Why I moved it.
Why?
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
um,
I tried. This is a long story and a short story on both. And, I think. Normally or often, when I make a lecture, I start with making my tie, and afterwards I took it up. Because I think the tie is, for me, it's the tie is really an important symbol, because a tie is what I made a video series course called the Museum of Competencies, and this is always the same as you see me at the in a white background, and I do some things, one part of this Museum of Competencies is that I make I think 30 ties, all ties I own, I put it on. And this is because this is really kind of gender symbol, which is really deeply connected to an old tense idea of management and economy. We all think that economy, and in some case it is, economy is like this, that you wear tie and you have this special suits. And for me, it's an interesting symbol because it's so easy to blame people with ties. It's so stupid to wear ties. You can't really it makes up your, and you can't even breathe good when your shirt is a little bit too small. It don't even looks really good, in my point of view. But it's a symbol of maybe lost has something to do with a tradition of me and we, or of us and them.
So by taking your tie off, do you change?
Yeah.
Are you changing position?
Yeah.
What about the covers that you put on the projector?
Yeah, I thought. It was a little bit. This I make often. Most of the time, I feel really alone when I make a lecture, and then I always take things with me. Dozens of things most of the time, but now I only took those flags with me, and I had the idea that I could use them when it would happen, but. I had so much problems reading this English text, and so much problems with this that my thing now broke down, that I didn't even use it. But for me, it's okay. It's like this: what I produce while I think about things. It's really banal. It's this is my produce flag. Stands. Herstellen drauf. And this is new, and I really love it, but I don't even know what to do with it. A few weeks ago I had a show also concerning Hannah Arendt's action, and then I held a lecture about real-life superheroes. And real-life superheroes, and really fell in love with real-life superheroes. Can everyone give the hint? Try to Google real life superheroes, and for this lecture I made me some kind of superhero umhang.
Oh, it's a cloak.
Cape.
With Dr. Z.
Yeah.
and I thought, well, maybe I can use it.
And can I ask why you didn't?
Yeah, I thought it was too. I really like the situation of this room, of this I thought I choose the right suit for this
shoes.
Room.
The shoes
were
extraordinary.
Yeah.
I could hardly listen to you for the first 5 minutes. All I could think about was your matching shoes. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that this might be too funny to as it might be too clear in what what perspective one can listen to me. And this is a situation that is really productive when no one really knows which perspective do you have to take for that, because this is okay what he's saying, but this is bullshit and this is crap and how he's hesitating and this and then there comes an comes a situation where I think it's productive to make lectures when it's not so easy to deconstruct.
That's very prevalent in the work too, isn't it? Listening to the work, seeing the work actually, and feeling this very entertaining lecture that sucks you in, and actually finding quite aggression's not the word, assertiveness coming out of the actual performed pieces. So all the time you're being sucked in and then being pushed away and being put off balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very, dominant in me.
Mm-hmm.
At all. And I'm curious how that sits in the two worlds, and back to the business world and the art world, because there are very different ways of operating.
How it works in different worlds.
And the business world, when you were talking about working with the business
communities. Yeah.
And then actually the art world is a business community, but it has a different set of rules.
Yeah. I don't know, because this is one really problematic in my in the way I work, because for business people it's art, for fine art people it's theater, for theater people it has something to do with theory. For theory people, it has something to do with prosa and literature. For political activists, it has something to do with joking. So there's no real context where I could learn the rules as good as I can care about them. I'm driven by questions. I'm driven by the main question is that I have problems to navigate in this world, and I don't think that it's my own business. I think many people have problems to navigate in the world, and I'm selfish enough to talk about that.
Forum like this, we're expected to be put off balance. Mm-hmm. We're entertained by being put off balance, we're challenged, we want to be excited by
that. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
But in the business world, in my experience, then that they much rather know a classic lecture, you say what you're going to do, you say what you have done and conclude it. So
mm-hmm.
it's very much more formal than I was thinking how sort of
okay.
intensely disturbing it would be for someone
okay.
who would know.
Yeah, I think this is you're right. This is different, but I can give you the easiest. I don't know if this answer is arrogant or dumb or something like that, but. In my experience is that no one really would take me serious in the business world when there are not two points. The one point is that I made a recognized PhD book, and the other thing, and I don't even know why it is, the other thing is that I'm listed in St. Gallen. And St. Gallen is more or less, I don't know if someone knows in Great Britain, St. Gallen is one of the, belongs to the top five business schools in Europe and belongs to the top 10 of the world. And nearly every CEO in Germany or every is connected with St. Gallen. So the fact that I'm there once a year or twice a year in St. Gallen takes the people's attention to what I have saying, because they say, well, you can't be an idiot when they took you. But on the other hand, they are idiots because they took me, because there was no reason to take me. I was in the right moment or in the fast moment. I was in one moment, I stood there and someone asked me. And when I first came there, I was an assistant of one who was a classical high potential, and someone remembered and said, well, come to us. There's no hype about that. But this is a real fact which works in Germany and in Switzerland. It works perfect.
So you want to say something?
Thank you very much for your presentation. I really enjoyed it. It was really interesting for me to be in the audience and watch you and sort of think about how did I feel and how much I enjoyed watching this. Because there's certain elements of what I do, and I really love what you've done. But I could say a slightly similar, and I'm often worried about what effect it has on the audience, and
mm-hmm.
this sort of thinking can paralyze me into not making any move. And I wonder if, I mean, clearly you think a lot, as probably most of us do, but does it ever stop you from making work? Because you kind of edit
if it stops me from making art.
You know. Yeah, I mean, this thinking in your mind, does it ever stop you kind of physically producing?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It does?
Yeah. But therefore, this was, at the beginning I showed two pictures of those office, art working office blocks I designed when I started to be at the art school. And this is the main point. When I first came to the art school, I didn't even know what to do there. I was absolutely astonished what they all make there. I had the idea that there are all people and we sit around tables drinking beer and talk to each other, because I'm a lousy painter and lousy sketcher and things like that. I realized that I need this organizational framing for doing it. And when I started in the second year, when I had a real deep crisis in the art school, I installed I don't know how to say a card where you put a punch card, and every month I went to my professor and he had to sign my punch card if I worked too much or too less, and when I want to have holidays, then I also ask my professor. He found it very absurd, and he really hated to do this. He really hated that. But this is like I work today. I go when I'm in Hamburg. I go at latest at 9 o'clock. I'm in the studio, and I never leave there before 5 or 6 p.m. And this is the time I have to work there. So I'm. Yeah.
Do you work weekends?
No, no.
Do you sleep 6 hours?
No, I'm
do you sleep 6 hours?
No, of course not. No. Yeah, when I was young, I worked. I worked for the union, so I can't work on weekends
and holidays.
Yeah,
and days off. Yeah. But that kind of puts you in the same register as other workers commuting to and from, and that, which seems an important thing. There was one thing you said about the headline in. A German newspaper that all managers have to be artists,
yeah.
And I couldn't help but thinking that's like the, like the crushing failure of that Boyce idea that everyone's an artist, and suddenly, well, actually, all the people in business are artists. So what are we left with?
But this is not. I don't know how it's in Germany, in England, but in Germany there's. I mentioned this DM Drogeriemarkt, this this supermarket for goods and shampoo and something like that. And the owner of the DM Drogeriemarkt is addicted to Josef Beuys, and he's an anthroposoph. And 10 years ago, this was finally, I found this, was also a lucky punch. I visited a press conference of the DM Drogeriemarkt. And there Götz Wiewerner, who is the name of the owner, said, well, I don't run a business anymore. I'm working on an art piece. I work on the to realizing the social sculpture in connection to Josef Beuys. And this idea that his company is an art piece, he always talks about that. It becomes out of this Rudolf Steiner anthroposophy thing. And this is really big in Germany. Not only in Germany, it's in this whole discourse of creativity, growth, and making lots of money. It's worldwide. At the MIT, there are three professors from originally from Germany who also are real heartily believe in Rudolf Steiner's philosophy, because it's so. Effective. Every company in Germany, or the most of the companies who are made by those Steiner guys, have a good balance. They make much money.
Profits. Profits. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the idea behind that. Yeah.
Because, I mean, something when you go to Germany, I mean, Josef Beuys is not someone well-known in Britain in terms of the populace, but he still has some kind of, he's been dead 20 years, but there's still, I've worked with people who were German and had nothing to do with the art world, but were completely au fait with him or a side of his work. Mm-hmm. And it's something I don't think we quite understand here. And it's interesting that that sort of seems to be a kind of little bit of Josef Beuys poking into that world. And that I was wondering why you didn't do an MBA.
An MBA?
And, you know, Master of Business, Business Studies.
Why?
I just think it would be an interesting, rather than, it just struck me as a kind of a...
Yeah, but...
Because there seems this MIT kind of creative, be a creative manager type thing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Well, that's where that discourse is going on, is in these MBA courses. And that's...
I never meant.
We're kind of.
Quick question, really. On this performance, you obviously had the lectern or something with papers on, and I was wondering whether these words were actually written down and you were actually reading them, or whether they were actually spontaneously, you actually came up with them within this.
No, they are written down.
You were reading
script.
Them after that.
They're scripted, yeah. And this is the. Idea, and this works in German. In German, it's different, like in English, because I really like to read when I make a lecture, because most of the time it's you recognize more the how uncomfortable it is for me to read. In that case, it's both. I don't speak good English, so this is as uncomfortable as reading the text.
Sure.
But in German, so that I can speak without text really fluently and la la la. And with the text, I'm like this, and I really like to be like this, because this is not those powerful measure of, well, I have to tell you something. It doesn't work with that. This is this is also another.
It's against that kind of those TED cult, those TED lectures that you get are very relaxed.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And that kind of
yeah,
you know, completely.
Yeah. So friendly, yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, because the interplay of some of the words next to each other and stuff, I just wondered if that, I'm assuming you would...
No, I was only too slow.
Okay. Oh, yes. But
they are all written down here, but I...
so that's the English script, basically, the English version of the script.
Yeah. I just wondered if that was a coincidence, how some of them have fallen, or whether that's something you had
thought
through.
No.
I think it's... We're about on time. It's time. And... thank you very much.